Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle.
With plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Happy Friday, guys. This is Larissa, and I am here with Allison. Hey, Allison.
Hey, everyone.
Today, we're going to be talking to you about grocery store hacks. So these are little tips and tricks I've picked up over the years of my research and doing grocery shopping. And I want to share that with all of you. And I'm curious, Allison, to see which ones you know about. And I'd be curious, as you guys take a listen to this, if maybe you'll put a more critical eye to your next grocery trip.
Or if you have any tips for us.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So before we get into today's topic...
We have a partner today. Crunchy Cocktailer has partnered with Studio Sweden to bring you an exclusive discount on their top quality and super stylish earbuds and headphones. We were lucky enough to pick our own headphones, and Larissa went with the Trey Classic Blue, and I chose the Regent White. We've been rocking them ever since. Every product is designed to maximize the user's sound experience and feature cutting-edge Bluetooth 4.1 technology with multi-pairing capabilities. Larissa loves wearing the Trey at work because she can still hear her surroundings and not get startled when somebody walks over to her desk. The connecting wire in the headphones lets her easily pop out one earbud or both and rest them on her shoulders without having to pull up any wires. I love that full over-the-ear experience where I can really tune out, focus, and not get distracted by my surroundings. Bonus, their packaging is already super cute, but through the holiday season, every purchase also includes a gift box. So Studio is offering our listeners a 15% off discount on their entire site, so you can get your own headphones. Just use promo code CRUNCHY, that's C-R-U-N-C-H-Y, at checkout, and that's studiosweden.com.
So, of course, before we officially get into today's topic, what are we drinking?
Today we have a charred blood orange Negroni, so something fun, classic, and super Italian for this cold day.
Amazing.
So, cheers.
Cheers to today's topic. And if you guys are interested in the recipe, definitely check out silverlinedandwine.com and, of course, our social media. So let's talk about our grocery store hacks. So before we get into it, right, like maybe let's talk about our shopping habits. You know, Allison, do you do your grocery shopping? Who does your grocery shopping?
So I don't. I used to. I used to be pretty good about doing our grocery shopping. And when we lived in the city, we would grocery shop every day. On the way home from work, because we both walked, we just sort of like stop, okay, pick something up and come home. We're in an interesting situation right now. I'm not sure if I mentioned this on previous episodes, but we have some roommates with us at the for the time being. My parents are living with us as they're renovating their house. And my dad happens to be an amazing chef. So he's both doing the grocery shopping and the cooking.
Oh, that is not a bad deal.
It is amazing. But even when they're not living with us, Kyle actually tends to do the groceries. So he likes to wake up early. He likes to get his day started on kind of a quiet note. And so he'll go to the grocery store. He'll get everything we need for the week on Saturday morning. And then he comes home, we cook breakfast, and I don't have to step foot in that place.
So it's funny because I also don't do our grocery shopping.
Oh, that's so funny.
I do the meal planning.
Yeah.
So I make the list and all of that. But Bill definitely does the grocery shopping, and that's for a bunch of reasons. One, I feel like I'm always hungry, and so I go to the grocery store and I meander and I come out with way more stuff than I should. And the other part of it is I get really cold in the grocery store, so I just don't like it.
It's freezing cold in the grocery store.
So he is a champ of like taking the list, getting in, getting out, and so he's our grocery store guy.
You gotta split it up.
So because Bill does a lot of the grocery shopping, I will tell you some of these tips are, it's a mix of things that I have found and things that he has found as a result of his many, many trips. So why don't we get into it?
Sure.
So if we talk about produce, I think one of the biggest things is seasonality of produce. I don't know if that's something that most people think about when they enter the grocery store. Everything looks shiny and new and it's being spritzed on from the, you know, the side aisles and all that kind of stuff. But at some point, depending on where you live, like not all produce is in season all year long. Like I know in Pennsylvania right now, we're kind of in the season of like colder root type of vegetables, like potatoes and turnips and all that kind of stuff, where now things like strawberries and watermelon are not in season, but you're still going to find them at the grocery store. So, like, where are they coming from? Unless you are really digging into it, the stuff that's out of season, you kind of don't know where it's coming from. Some of it could be from elsewhere in the United States, and you would hope that if you're going to a grocery store that you trust that they're bringing in good for you stuff. But there's a lot of food that's imported here from outside the United States. And outside the States, there are less restriction on what you can spray on your food. You also have to think about how long it takes for something to get here and it needs to keep. So when possible, try to adjust your meal planning to what's in season. But if you love peaches all year long, like as an example, buy it when it is in season. Cut it up and freeze it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Depending on how you want to use it, just buy it frozen.
So if you buy it frozen, I've always wondered that.
Yeah.
Sometimes, especially with Claire in a pinch, I have like bags of organic vegetables.
Yeah.
Are they still sort of the same level of nutrients?
Not exactly.
Okay.
Not exactly. You know, just like cooking a vegetable over time, it loses, like freshness, when something is fresh and in its rawest form, has the most nutritional value. As time goes on, it loses some nutritional value. If you cook it, it loses some nutritional value. So no, it's not going to be the same. And also, right, you know that if you buy fruit, for example, and frozen in a bag, it's going to be mushy. It's not going to taste like, so it's awesome for throwing in your smoothies or on top of yogurt, but it's not going to be like a bowl of
Prima
fruit
fresh.
I think I kind of said a couple things there. Is like, one, you know, where possible, adjust your meal plans to what's in season for wherever you are. And I'll actually try to find a link of what's in season across the months across the states.
That'd be helpful. But I think about what's in season right now for Pennsylvania. You were saying root vegetables.
Yeah.
That's what I want to eat this time of year anyway.
It makes sense.
Because you want that hearty, those hearty stews and soups.
Well, I want watermelon all year long.
Well, that's
weird. Rejoice when watermelon is back in season around here. But so try to adjust your meals to what's in season for where you are. If you really love something, buy it while it's in season and freeze it or can it or ferment it or whatever you want to do with it to keep it. Or just buy frozen depending on how you're going to use something, right? Throwing in smoothies, buy frozen. Like, you don't need it to be. And actually, it adds a little bit of that coldness to your smoothie and all of that. And we talked about kind of the nutritional value, right? Like, you want to know what's really, like, you want the stuff that's really fresh because it's going to be the most nutritious. It's going to be cheaper, too, right? Like, go try buying a watermelon right now. It's going to be super expensive because there's not a ton of it, and they have to import it in and all
maybe,
that kind of stuff.
Maybe a good rule of thumb is if you see a guy selling it in the back of his truck on the side of the road, it's probably pretty local.
Yeah,
totally. Buy that stuff.
Totally. And so the other thing that you'll find in and around the produce is garlic. So this one is kind of one of these lesser known things, but I think
it's so
important to know.
Wait, you're not going to tell me I can't cook with garlic,
You can
right?
totally cook with garlic. And by the way, this makes me think that we need a medicinal uses of garlic episode because so many.
There are medicinal uses of garlic?
Like, you can use it to help you sleep. Like, there's just tons of things. So sidebar, we should totally do that.
Okay.
So garlic. I don't know if you know, but most garlic that is grown in the United States is grown in California, which is called the garlic capital of the world.
Definitely didn't know that.
Or the garlic capital of the U.S. And so you hope that whenever you go to the grocery store, you're getting garlic from California or getting garlic that's local in the United States. But I think it was as of 2014 was the last statistics I saw, but 80% of the world's garlic is actually coming from China.
Interesting.
Because it's also, I guess, like, it originates there or it grows freely there, whatever it is. So tons of garlic is coming from China. So that garlic has to get here. And so if 80% of the world is using China's garlic, it's very rampant all over the U.S. that there's Chinese garlic. So how do you tell the difference, the face you're making right now? How do you tell the difference between something that is locally sourced or from China. And before I even say that, why don't you want the garlic from China? A couple reasons. So for the same reason we mentioned you want produce that's local and from the US and all that kind of stuff because of regulation. So that garlic needs to keep. Yes. So they are spraying it with, they're dipping it in chlorine, essentially.
I'm sorry, in chlorine?
Not in chlorine. Sorry, it's bleached. It's bleached in some way.
Why?
Because
that helps it keep?
Well, it gets rid of all the dark spots that start to form. They fumigate it to keep it to last, like, oh, so geez. It can like stay quarantined while it's being shipped over, and you have no say over what pesticides they're using, and it's completely outside of U.S. regulation.
But they can't label it as organic then, right?
No.
Okay.
No. But one easy way you can tell is when you're getting overseas garlic is they strip off the roots on the bottom, like those like fuzzy roots.
Yeah.
And they do that to make it weigh less, to make shipping cheaper.
Interesting.
So I will tell you one thing about that little rule of thumb. I think that there may be some U.S. manufacturers that do that too. But you know, if that little root part is there, that fuzzy little root, then it's definitely not from there. So it's not guaranteed that if it's missing, it's from China, but it is guaranteed that if it's there, it's not from China.
Interesting. So you can probably more likely find American grown, not bleached. Never heard of that. Bleached is so tough to swallow.
Yeah.
But you can probably find that like in your more organic stores. They're probably more likely to have.
Yeah.
Okay.
But to be honest, I don't know if like when Bill or I go grocery shopping, we look for organic garlic. I think we're literally, the main thing we're looking for is that we see that root on the bottom. Okay. It's like the main thing. I know.
It's so gross.
It's gross. It's totally gross.
I cook with so much garlic.
I love it. I love it in all things. I might be the only person on the planet who enjoys a good garlic breath. I like it.
I will just roast garlic and just eat that.
Oh yeah.
I love it.
So in like Russian culture, you might have heard of like a soup called borscht, just like, yes, a red beet soup. And so in my family, how you eat the red beet soup is on the side, you also have a like a little pile of salt, and you just dip garlic, like a raw piece of garlic, in the salt and eat it along with it. And it is my favorite thing to do.
Okay, you have to make this for me. This sounds really good.
I mean, the garlic is just raw garlic.
I love garlic.
You might know. Like,
I've never tried borscht.
Oh, yeah.
Borscht. Okay. Maybe we'll do like a trading
recipes.
Like, I'll make you tortiere and I cannot think of any other traditional Canadian dishes, but there's a ton.
Maple syrup?
Yes, I'll make you maple syrup. Wait, so we have a question on the garlic.
Maple syrup.
Have you seen elephant garlic?
Yeah, I don't like elephant garlic.
What is it?
I don't know, to
be
honest
with you. It's giant garlic.
It is, and Bill has bought it before, just I think because it's like easy peel.
Okay.
But it tastes different to me. But let's look into that. I'm not sure. I mean, it seems like it's just a different plant.
But I feel like it has a more dilute flavor.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely tastes different, right? And I don't enjoy the flavor that it has, so we don't buy it
anymore.
I mean,
it's still garlic, but it's just like it seems like you're like, oh, well, it's giant. I can just use, I don't know, more. It's just one clove would have more flavor, and it's not that way at all.
Also, really quick sidebar about garlic. Whenever you see like two cloves of garlic in a recipe, do you not always like double or triple it? Because whoever needs like one or two cloves of garlic, that's never enough.
Well, I always at least do one more clove. But do you have like a ton of garlic constantly in your house?
Always.
I do too.
There's like several bulbs all the time.
I love garlic.
It's such a staple, and there is nothing like, I mean, I have the garlic powders and stuff, but
it's not the same.
Nothing like the moment that the garlic hits like the sizzling pan of oil, that aroma,
the whole house,
I die for it.
I know. And we always press our garlic, and even if Allison, it calls,
I'm so hungry
I
now.
Know. All right, we have to have some lunch soon. Can you tell it's almost lunchtime that we're recording this? Well, hold a quick side, one more thing on garlic, and we can always edit this out if it's too much on garlic. My best girlfriend Krista was telling me about this restaurant where they're known, I think it's San Francisco, they're known for putting in an obscene amount of garlic in all of their food, and I want to go. I want to go to there.
I'm in.
Let's do it.
I'm so in.
On our field trip. Our crunchy cocktail, our field trip. Okay. I'm sorry. I digress.
Okay. So that kind of covers the two pieces I wanted to touch on in the produce aisle. So the other thing I want to talk about is sustainable seafood policies. So I don't know if I've ever mentioned kind of how I got here and how I started to kind of research like cleaner, greener eating and all that kind of stuff. But it literally was a disgusting fish article that wound up on my feed on Facebook one day. And it was all about fish farms in China, how these fish are grown in really poor, dirty conditions, that they are sick, they are quite frankly, you know, swimming and eating their own feces. There was something about that article that literally I feel like forever changed my life. I started doing tons of research and literally threw away everything in our entire kitchen. And
that was when Bill came home to find you surrounded by products.
Surrounded by like, we can't eat this. We can't eat this. This is killing us. I mean, the pantry, the spices, the freezer, like I touched everything and I went into a tailspin. I'm sure I can't find that exact article, but I could try to find
something
like
similar,
something
nice,
close
yeah.
to it to post for you guys. But fish I think is one of the biggest things that maybe it's just I feel that way because it was for me, but I feel like it's one of the things that started making the rounds. It was like, is tilapia good for you or not? And that's, I feel like, some of the stuff that started to spin up healthy things in the U.S. A bunch of years ago. So you may not know, but most grocery stores that have a fresh fish section where you can buy things that are not frozen, the Wegmans and the Whole Foods and the Giants and the Acme's and the Walmarts everywhere, they have sustainable seafood policies.
Okay.
And so what that means, and most of them, you can literally like Google the name of the grocery store and seafood policy or sustainability seafood policy, and it'll come up for you, or you can ask them for it. So what does that mean? So sustainability in general just means that the fish are brought up in a way, whether it's like farmed or wild caught, in a way that doesn't affect the numbers of their population, that we could like keep farming them or keep catching them and it wouldn't affect them continuing to be able to reproduce and exist in the world.
Okay.
In the same, I guess, quantities that they always have. And that also means secondary that any of the process in which those fish are caught or farmed doesn't also disrupt the ecosystem of anything else. So that's
interesting.
That's what sustainability means at the high level.
Okay. Do you know
determine
that?
Yeah,
how do they make sure
different,
that's the case?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. There's different kind of levels of standards, and that's part of one of the things that you will find in a store's or a whatever, or a fisheries policy is what they follow, what standard they follow. And I can post some of that if you guys are interested in digging into it. A sustainability policy for a given place will have like the following. They'll have what standard they follow, like I just mentioned. What does sustainability mean to them? They'll have kind of where is their stuff sourced, like from which places? And some of them will also have, I know Wegmans definitely does, they'll have, here's where we don't source from because it doesn't fit the standard, or they haven't quite produced XYZ for us so we feel comfortable. And it'll say even down to like, we don't have this fish or this fish or that fish.
Interesting.
Because XYZ. So Wegmans is maybe one of the most – Wegmans and Whole Foods, and surprisingly, I'll also tell you, like Walmart, have really, really detailed policies about what they will and won't do. And the hack that I want to kind of like tell you about there is when you are on board with a store's sustainability policy, you can feel comfortable buying from fresh and frozen.
Frozen as well?
Frozen as well. Because it applies to all. So if, you know, frozen or fresh, especially farm-raised fish, or not farm-raised, wild-caught fish is very expensive.
Yes.
And if you want to still try to get wild-caught but you can't spend the money of like wild caught fresh all the time. You can get wild caught frozen.
Interesting.
And again, we will find those kinds of things of like, will it lose some nutritional value? Like this or that? Sure.
But not all of it.
But
right?
Not all of it at all. And so that's kind of one of the main things. I think there is a stigma about buying frozen fish, and I think it leads back to this idea of, you know, is fish bad and is it farmed? And
That would be a huge mental shift for me to see frozen fish as something that you can actually
buy
purchase.
Frozen fish. And again, there is a – when you can, of course you want to buy fresh. When you can, of course you want to buy wild caught, right? Because anytime – it's raised on a farm, it's raised on a farm, right? And anytime you buy or anytime you catch like fresh from the ocean, it's just a very different type of thing. It'll always be kind of healthier to get wild caught. But
so maybe we can do a post about that. But what exactly are the issues with farm raised? Not issues, but like what would make it less desirable than wild caught?
Conditions. You know, I mean, essentially, and I don't want to oversimplify because it's not my area of expertise, but I mean, think about, maybe we compare it to meat in some way. Like think about a grass-fed, you know, pasture-raised cow versus one that is penned in and kind of like there for meat.
Yeah, so I mean, so it's both the sort of moral aspect
a little bit
as well as sort of those environment, if they're penned in, they're likely in their own filth, for lack of a better term. They're not eating that fresh wild grass.
And but I will say, right, that's where there is regulation a given store will have for what they consider okay for them for a fishery that does wild caught and a fishery that does farm raised. So it's not that farm raised is like terrible, but they will want to be aligned with fisheries that have good practices, even if they are a farm.
I love that Walmart is one of the ones that
is, surprisingly. They're catching up, and I know there's like that Walmart stigma, and the reality is like I do my grocery shopping at Wegmans, and I know we're going to have a Whole Foods soon, and that's where I'm going to go because it has more options for someone like me.
Yep. But you think about that, but like the budget conscious mom that's really trying to make these good decisions, and I know that there's a couple of really organic companies. I'm trying to think of the name of them. I can put them in the show notes if I find out, but you know, there are these small organic companies that are really trying to create a movement, and people can say that they've sold out if they get a contract with Walmart, but in truth they're getting their name out there. They're getting they're getting people to purchase their products. They're getting people to vote with their dollars and say that this is something that's important to me, and Walmart's listening.
Totally.
So there's great things there.
It's almost a product by product thing. So it's I'm specifically talking about like they have a pretty decent seafood sustainability policy. I'm not saying you go to Walmart, anything on the shelf is safe, right? But I'm not saying that about a regular grocery store either. But
because they also sell goldfish at Wegmans.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think not only are people being more health conscious, but they're being conscious about the earth. So it's, you know, sustainability is kind of like two pieces for me, because if you think about if you've got a fishery, wild caught or farm raised, that is being more conscious about sustainability, they're probably being more conscious in general, right, about how your fish is produced. So that's definitely one to think through and not be afraid to buy frozen. And again, you can ask the guy behind the counter for their policy and you can look it up online.
I like that. So sustainable seafood.
Yes. Okay. Next one is brown eggs versus white eggs. So tell me what you think about brown eggs versus white eggs. Do you think one is healthier than the other? Do you buy brown eggs over white eggs? Do you buy white eggs over brown eggs? Like, so, what do you think about that?
All right. So I – obviously, we don't buy eggs right now, but every time we do buy eggs, I'm always – Claire's allergic to eggs. When I did buy eggs, when we ate a lot, I would always get the free-range, you know –
free range, cage free.
Yeah, all of
everything.
That.
Okay.
You know, and they're always brown.
Okay.
They're always brown.
Okay. So this is not a all the data points kind of answer, but the short answer about brown eggs and white eggs is brown eggs are not healthier than white eggs.
Interesting.
It all depends on the actual farm. Right, and their process of what they feed their chickens, what they don't feed their chickens, what the conditions the chickens are living in, like that's what matters in the egg. The reason, but brown eggs are always more expensive than white eggs. And that is because the chickens that produce brown eggs are bigger chickens, and it costs more to feed those bigger chickens, and therefore the brown egg is more expensive.
Are you kidding me?
No.
So there's like this whole thing where people think it's a healthier version.
Well, because think, like, you think brown rice is healthier than white rice. Like, you think brown wheat pasta is healthier than the white. And in some cases, it's true. But when it comes to the brown or white eggs...
What the heck?
When it comes to the... It's just usually just a bigger chicken.
It's almost like a marketing ploy.
It's a totally a marketing ploy.
The fat chickens, they make our brown eggs.
They're very hungry.
That is crap. I think I can say that, right?
You look genuinely surprised at that one. Yes. It's so interesting.
I don't know why. That's just bizarre.
I know.
Fatter chickens make brown eggs.
They're not fatter. They're just bigger. I don't know. But again, like the content of the egg is just solely about, well, it's not the same. It's solely about the farm itself and their practices and what they're feeding those chickens.
So,
no, and even if they're feeding that chicken crap, they're just having to feed it more crap because it's a bigger chicken.
So the fact that I go for the cage-free...
No, that's
different.
That's a different story. We should talk about that. But I'm talking about just if you had a farm with the same manufacturing practices, with the same feed and all that stuff, the only reason you would pay more for their brown eggs over their white eggs is because that chicken eats more food and costs them more money to sustain.
Oh, my God. I don't know why that's just blowing my
mind. It's a mind shift, like, because it just, I don't know, you see it, and we're used to, like, the brown.
They're farm fresh, if for some reason. They're, like, straight off the farm.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I know, like, I don't know if you've ever gotten eggs from, like, a friend or something. Sometimes they're, like, multicolored, and it's just the chicken. It's the type of chicken and the eggs they produce.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I like that one. All right. Blow my mind again.
So this one's around, and kind of the last two I have are all about kind of the layout of things. So I think we've all probably heard about Shop the Perimeter, right? So all around the kind of the U of the grocery store is going to be like the fresh produce, the cheeses, the eggs, the milk, and then everything in between.
And the meat.
Usually, the meat. And then everything in between is kind of going to be boxed and bottled. And whenever possible, you want to cook things that are real ingredients that you've put together in some way rather than something that you've unboxed or drink unbottled.
I think that was the first lesson I learned in the grocery store. Like, healthy grocery shopping was Shop the Perimeter.
Right.
And it's true. Like, if you are cooking a whole foods diet, you don't need to venture into the middle. Maybe for your rice or... things like
it's not that you shouldn't go in there at all, but you should try when you can to get, like, I don't know, 80% of your groceries, and I'm just kind of making up that number, most of what you get should be the real perimeter. Fresh ingredients. On the perimeter. And when you are in the center of that grocery store and you are looking at the boxed and bottled stuff, and this is a great tip Bill gave me, is and this will go back to, like, if we do an episode around kind of the marketing of things, the eye level shelves are the prime real estate. So the well-established brands, and quite honestly, the crappier for you brands are going to be at your eye level. They're the ones that have been around a long time, who've got the most money to not only spend to be at eye level with you, but also that sell the best, because of course people want, you know, craft. They don't want, you know, unknown bubble brand. Well, yeah, whatever. So the best tip that he gave me to share with all of you is look above and look below. You will find sometimes the exact same generic, right? You will find, because some of those healthier brands now are, you know, producing a quality product, but they're more health conscious, you're going to find above and below, you're going to find less sodium, less sugar, maybe blander packaging, but you're going to find kind of the
better for you.
Kind of the better for you. And you might find better prices as well, because again, sometimes the well-known brands are marked up at a premium because everybody wants the brand.
Yeah.
So, that's so interesting. It's good to kind of look above and below. But
similarly, in some aisles, the eye line is the children's eye line.
Yeah.
So be wary of that as well.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. And you do it. And I know, like, when I think about, like, say, cereal, mm-hmm. right? Like,
that's exactly the aisle I was thinking.
They've seen the commercials. Mm-hmm. They want the one with the colorful box and stuff. And it's a little bit of a mind shift for all ages, right? To say, like, this is the same cereal. It's just in a different box or, like,
or a bag.
Or a bag. Yeah, down below you'll find those, like, really big bags. There's a mental shift because we are just used to kind of picking up that thing that's right in front of us. Like, oh, I need pasta. Here it is. Oh, I need, you know, rice. Here it is.
Yeah.
So next time you go, just give that a shot. I don't know. Or give Kyle that tip because I know it won't be you.
Kyle will go. Although he's pretty good about that kind of stuff. We've got men that are on board the crunchy train. That's a tough one to say.
Yeah.
So luckily, I think they're both pretty good.
And I would love to do, you know, as we were preparing for this episode, I was just thinking about there are so many topics related to the grocery store. So, you know, when it comes to the marketing of things, everything is very well thought out mm-hmm. to make you want to buy.
Consumer psychology is something that you can major
in. So I think we need to talk about, like, grocery store psychology. We need to talk about, like, you know, crunchy on a budget. Like, how do you shop the perimeter when the perimeter is the most expensive part of the grocery store, right? And the stuff in the middle is cheaper. You know, how do we, you know, tell you how to pick out produce or what to look for on a label and things. So I think we have a ton of more grocery store episodes in our future.
There's a lot to talk about. I like groceries, so I don't mind it.
So that's kind of the list that I had for us today. So I would just tell you kind of to keep your eyes peeled and try some of these maybe that matter. They might not all be relevant, or you might know some of these. I think probably Shop the Perimeter is one that most people know.
I think people probably intellectually know, but it's an easy one to forget, especially because the things that show up in your list often hit in the middle of the aisle.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll continue bringing you these grocery store episodes. If there are any these types of grocery store hacks that you look out for, because I'd certainly be interested in more.
We would take them.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, as always, you can find anything we've mentioned at crunchycocktailhour.com. In the show notes, I think we do the list of kind of what's in season. We'll have to go back and make sure that we list out anything that we said we would for you.
And then if you're interested in this charred blood orange Negroni, go check out at silverlinedandwine.com. We've got the recipe up there. And of course, we'll post some pictures because they're always so beautiful.
You guys should definitely be interested in this drink because of all the cocktails we've made, I think so far, this is more of like a heavier cocktail.
It's a heavier cocktail, so apologize if we're slurring. No, I'm just kidding.
And as always, if you like what you hear, subscribe. Please leave us a review. It's the highest form of flattery in podcast land. And we're definitely on all the social media. So follow us on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook at crunchycocktailhour.com. And until next Friday.
We'll see you then. Thanks, everyone.